No, it's good to be here tonight. We're going to go into the book of John, chapter 3, verse number 15 tonight. And I'm going to use a verse to set up what I'm wanting to get across tonight, what God has laid upon my heart this week. I am going to go through a list of five believers, five different types of believers that every church has in their congregation. And we will see this as we go through this. But before we begin reading, we'll be in verse number 15. Before we begin reading, let's have a word of prayer. And let's ask God to gather our thoughts, not upon each other, but upon Him. Because that's who it's all about. It's about Him right now at this point in time. It should be as we leave from here and throughout the week as well. But let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us. We thank You, Lord, for allowing us to be in Your house once again. We thank You for this long weekend that You've allowed us to enjoy and to maybe get caught up on some rest and maybe to be able to have longer fellowship with our family members and things of that nature. And God, I pray that You continue to bless in the rest of the time that we have with one another this evening. And Lord, we pray as we go from here tonight, we can say it has been good to be in Your house today. God, I ask that You just watch over us tonight. Again, use me to speak Your word tonight. Lord, if there's something in my notes that You would want to be removed, God, I pray that You would just delete it totally if that's what You want. And I pray, Lord, that You would be glorified. And we ask in Your name, amen. Good. The notes are still there. Good, they're still there. Anyway, let's begin reading in verse number 15 of chapter number 3. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. The word believeth means that you have become a believer in something. And in this particular verse, you put your faith and trust in Him, you have become a believer in Jesus Christ. And that is an incredible responsibility that you and I have after that has taken place in our life. My title tonight for this message is, Which One Are You? And you're going to go throughout these tonight, a list of five. I might even throw in six, maybe seven. It all depends if I take 2 or 3 minutes on each of these. It all depends. But all of these really resonated with me throughout this week. It's a good thing for a person to be called a believer in God. Amen. It's a good thing for a person to be called a believer. That phrase alone, when you think about that, will separate you from many people because you'll have your believers and then you'll have your non-believers. And you're not very popular with the non-believers. However, with this being said, there is a great responsibility that comes with being a believer. And I believe it's a responsibility that has been dropped along the line in many different lives. And let me say this before I go on any further. If this doesn't, how do I say this? If this isn't you, don't worry about it. But if this is you, in the words of Pastor, you don't want to get your toes stomped on, move your feet. Plain and simple. But there is a great responsibility that comes with being a believer. This should always keep us in check with how we carry ourselves. Well, why are you saying that? Because we have now a responsibility. We're no longer a representative of ourselves, but now we have become a representative of God. We represent Him. We represent His kingdom. And you and I need to carry ourselves very diligently. We need to carry ourselves very carefully. Why? Because the world looks at us. We know this. The world's always looking at us. They're always examining our lives. They're always looking at our motives and things of that nature. So we need to carry ourselves very well. Throughout my life, I have noticed that there are several different types of believers. Can anybody testify to that? There are several different types of believers. And you'll find them in any church. I'll guarantee you this. This, however, is unfortunate because this is how we have allowed ourselves to become. And there is no one else to blame but yourself if you fall into this category. And I believe tonight that somebody in here might fall into one of these categories. Not all of what is going to be discussed tonight is bad. It really should cause us to be more aware of how we act. And why is that said? Well, because you look around in our auditorium tonight, we have younger people that are here, and younger people look up to us. And let me say this before I go on even further. Not only do I look up to the elderly people that are here in our church, but I'm going to say this to our young people. I look up to you because you are a great example, and you're a great testimony. And you have a lot to offer me, and I have a lot to learn from you folks, how you carry yourself, how you represent yourself outside of here. I've been around a lot of teenagers throughout my life. I've known teenagers who have been on fire for God. I've known teenagers who have no care for God. And I will tell you this tonight. I am proud to be in this church with a group of young people that have a love and a zeal for Jesus Christ. And the attitudes that they carry and the attitudes that they represent is really amazing. And it's something I wish that I could have had as a younger person. But we need to be more aware of how we act because we are being watched now more than ever. Our reactions to things could cause somebody not to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm still blown away with the fact of Brother Ron Todd, how he said it's his testimony that wins people to Christ. It takes years. It takes years of development, years of friendship along the way for people to come to know the Christ over in Costa Rica because their way of living is totally different than ours. And so he carries himself a little bit more differently than we might carry ourselves here in the States because he is being examined very diligently over there. There are five believers that I'm going to list here tonight. The first type of believer that we will deal with tonight is one that is called a picky believer. Do you realize tonight there are picky believers? There really is. What is a picky believer? Well, I'm going to put it into simpler terms so we don't constantly go to this word picky. To simplify it, it's constantly one who is complaining, one who is looking for faults in anything and everything that is said or done. And I will have to testify to this tonight. I have been in this category. I testified to you this tonight in our prayer meeting that I came across today in our morning service that I had a bad attitude. And I can't sit there and blame it upon what my allergies are doing to me right now. I can't blame it upon that. We're all dealing with allergies. By the way, I will say this with allergies. It has given me an endless supply of an endless buffet line of stuff that comes in my body that it doesn't matter if I'm hungry or not. It's there. But anyway, I know you didn't want to hear that. But it caused me to be picky. And because of that, I lashed out at an individual this morning. And I asked forgiveness from God tonight during prayer meeting. But I didn't ask the individual yet for this very reason. Donovan, would you please forgive me? Because that is the one that I lashed out at. That is the one that I became very picky with and very complainative about. And you know what? It's those types of things that can cause relationships to begin to break up. It can cause a fellowship to no longer take place between individuals. And I'm glad that Donovan has a forgiving attitude. And I'm glad that he looked beyond my attitude this morning. I'm glad he looked beyond my faults so that we can continue going on serving Jesus Christ together. But there is no place, to be honest with you, for a person in a church that's constantly going to be picking and being complainative about everything. Always finding fault, what is going on and what is being said. Never having anything positive to say. Here's the examples of what takes place with a picky person. Well, church starts too late. Well, church gets out too early. Has anybody ever complained about church getting out too early? I don't know if you noticed this, but in Sunday school the last few weeks, and even in a church service, pastors let us out early. I have yet to hear anybody complain of those things. But some people complain about those things. Some will begin to complain and begin to pick about, well, invitation is too long. Let me say this. Are you the Holy Spirit? Are you the one to sit there and say, well, the invitation needs to be this length or that length? When the Holy Spirit's at work, what do? We let the Holy Spirit work. If it's going to be 10 minutes, 15 minutes, then that's up to the Holy Spirit. And then we begin to complain and we begin to pick at the pastor's preaching. It's too hard. Or there's too much conviction in it. You don't want to hear it because it's penetrating your heart. And it might be a subject that you're not too happy with because it's happened to deal with you in particularly. So, you know, the usual things you can hear at church. A picky believer is not what a pastor wants to hear from. I've been on this end of it. I have come to my own father and been complainative and been picky towards things in the church as a younger person, even as an older person as well, and begin to complain at things just before he's given a message. Do you know what that does to the mind of a pastor? It's not very good. So we begin to complain, and that's not what a pastor needs to hear before he gets up and begins to preach the word of God. He's got a phone. Call him. It's open Monday through Friday. I'm giving him the weekends off on this one. Nor does he want to hear about it before, and he might be secluded afterwards. But imagine if we are all invited to your home for fellowship. Think about this for an example. If we're invited to your house for a fellowship, and all we did when we got there was complain about the type of service you gave us. And we shouldn't be having those types of attitude. And we begin to pick at this, that, and the other thing. Here's, I believe, what happens when we become a picky believer or a complainative believer. I believe we have truly lost our focus at times when we arrive at church. Do you know church is about edification? Church is about educating. And church is about fellowshipping with one another. It's not about coming in and being able to pick apart this person, that person, or what's being done in the nursery, or what's not being done in the nursery, or what's taking place over in the gymnasium across the way, and begin to have a negative attitude about those things. A negative attitude, a complainative attitude, a picky believer begins to destroy other believers as well. And it begins to give an invite to Satan to allow him to come in and begin to destroy the church within. Do you realize a change of attitude is needed in churches? It really is. It would do us some good to say as we leave our churches, or as we leave our houses before we come to church, and say, man, I wish I would have done this morning, out of all honesty. I had no idea what was going to take place today, but I knew what I was preaching on tonight. Little did I know that it was going to be affecting me this morning. But it might do us some good as we wake up in the morning and we begin to get ourselves ready for church. I believe the first thing we ought to do is maybe let's go to bed a little bit earlier. And wake up a little bit earlier and open up our word and allow God to speak to our hearts. And then as God begins to speak to our hearts, maybe take some little bit of time in prayer and say, hey, God, I know Satan wants to ruin me today. And I know Satan wants to have me be a part in ruining somebody else's day. So God, please, would you change my attitude? Would you please take away my complainative attitude, my pickiness, so that I can be an encouragement to somebody that is around me? You know, it's good to be encouraged, amen? It's good to walk into church and have somebody say hello to you and to lift you up. Shelly, last week, she come in. She got devastating news about her mom. And Heather and Jade are going through this as well. And she had bad news delivered to her this last week about her mom having cancer. You know what she gets comfort in? She gets comfort in Jesus Christ, but she also gets comfort in us as brothers and sisters, being an encouragement to her. You know the wrong thing for me to say when Shelly came to me last week and said, hey, my mom's got cancer? The wrong thing for me to say is to begin to complain about everything and to begin to talk about myself. We need to ask God for a change of attitude. Ask him to clear us of those things. Here's a thought. Instead of being a picky and complainative believer, be an encouragement instead. Be one who wants to edify somebody. And I know that's not always easy. I know it can be hard at times. But I will tell you this. When you pray for it, God will give you the grace to do that. And I'm not the greatest person at being an encouragement to somebody, and I know I need improvements in this area, and I pray that God will help me tremendously. The second type that we will deal with tonight is a private believer. So not only is there a picky believer, but there is a private believer. Please forgive me right now. I had to take care of that endless buffet there. The second type we will deal with tonight is a private believer, meaning you wouldn't even know if they were a believer. What do you mean by that? Some people are quiet. Some people are shy. And these are some of the reasons. Or hopefully this isn't true, but maybe some are just embarrassed. Those are some things that might cause them to be a private believer. I will tell you this tonight. I'm a shy person by nature. You guys know me. I'm one of the biggest introverts. It's not easy for me to go out there and to be as friendly as Jeff is. That's not my nature. And I know those things. Pastor, he's shy too, but he's more of a people person than I am. I'm not a people person. Even though I love people and I like being around people, but that's not who I am. I'm a shy individual. I might be shy for this very reason. I'm very insecure about myself. You guys don't know this about me. I'm very insecure. And that's just another story. That's just something for you to pray about for me. But anyway, if you are a child of God, let me say this to you tonight. You're not alone. You need to begin to interact with fellow believers. Pastor did something to me a couple weeks ago that really threw me out of my comfort zone. And you know me, I like being in my place. Leave me alone, I'm here. But Pastor, he's got some different ideas. And I will say this, sometimes I don't agree with his ideas, especially when it includes me doing something that I'm not wanting to do. But he's wanted me to get out of my comfort zone, and he's wanted me to stand in the back door and greet people as they walk out. That's not me, but I tell you this, God's given me the grace to do those things. God's given me the ability to, hey, it's good to see you this morning. It's good to have you tonight. And getting me out of my shyness. Being a private believer is something that can be very scary. Because if God has saved you, why would you keep it all to yourself? Think about this. If you battle with being shy or maybe being battled with being intimidated, here's another thought that I can give you. Just as I said a few moments ago about God giving you a change of attitude by prayer, maybe you need to start praying for God to give you boldness. Instead of being a private believer, be one that prays, God, I need boldness so that I can be able to be a voice for you. Because you have changed my life. You have made a difference in my life. And I'm not benefiting anybody else around me by not letting them know that I'm a believer in you. By my voice being quiet, I'm not being a help. I'm not being an encouragement. So God, I need your help in these areas. The more you involve yourself, the better chances you'll have to letting others know that you are a child of God. After all, isn't that what you want people to know about you? Is that you're a child of God? It'd be a great shame to go through life of not letting others know what God has done for you. Has God not done something good for you this week? You begin to look back at the things that God has brought you through. He's done some good work in you this week. I was just talking to my Uncle Greg here a few moments ago, and you heard his prayer requests. And I began to talk to him just a little bit, and he began to share with me some pictures of before and pictures of afterwards. And tears began to run down his face because he himself, through those pictures, has saw a change of what God has done in his life. And you know what was taking place? He wasn't being private about it. He was being very open, being very public with it. And it takes a man to do those things, to let your emotions be shared with and shown with somebody. And so it'd be a great shame to go through life of not letting others know of what God has done for you. Sure, there are some times when being private is okay. But I personally believe God will help you to overcome your greatest fears. My greatest fear this evening is to stand before you and to speak. I can testify tonight, one of my wife's greatest fears is to play the piano before the congregation. One of my daughter's greatest fears is to sing in church. You get to hear the music, but you don't see the before and after pictures. You don't see Chris coming back trembling. You don't see me over there trembling when I'm done. You don't see those things. But God can help you overcome your greatest fears. Be excited how God can change a life because you have let it be known. As I said just a few moments ago, it's not beneficial for you to be a private believer. But you need to let it be known to the world that God has given you. So with that being said, the third type of a believer should right now be very obvious. Well, what's obvious? What's opposite of a private believer? You have what is called a public believer. A public believer. There are some folks that I envy, and I said this a few moments ago, but there are some folks that I, even for this reason, they have never met a stranger. Everybody is somebody to them. Everybody is meaningful to them, meaning they have a gift to communicate better than most people. Do you know I get tongue-tied a lot? Sometimes when I want to say hello to somebody, I say the opposite. Wrong things come out of my mouth. Through this, though, they're able to make it more public of who they are and what they stand for. They have a natural gift about them. I envy those folks because I want to be more of a public believer. I don't want to be a private believer. I don't want to be in that shell. I don't want to be in that category, but I want to come out. I want to have my doors opened to where when somebody sees me, they know that I am a believer in Christ and I'm not ashamed of it. I want to be more public about those things. I want people to know what I stand for. I want people to know my convictions and my belief. I want people to know that I love my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have heard of numerous stories of people who have been very public about their faith. And it encourages me and gives me great strength and great hope as I go on through my life. One of the greatest examples in my life now is my brother-in-law, Kurt. He's got such a tremendous heart for the Lord. And his public outwardness is, he is one of the great street witnessers of this day. He is not ashamed and he is not afraid to grab the tracts that are given to him. And he'll go in any grocery store and begin to hand out those tracts. He'll put them on the car windshields. He'll put them anywhere. And he'll begin to converse with people and have conversation about the Lord Jesus Christ. And through that, individuals will get saved. Very good at making it known, being very public about his faith. But when you're public about your faith and you're outward about it, some of them have been greatly criticized. Can I say this? Don't be discouraged if you get criticized for publicly loving the Lord. Rather be encouraged. Don't hang your head down like, oh, woe is me. People are making fun of me because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Man, that ought to excite us. We ought to be, woo! They know I'm a believer in God. Yes! Instead of hanging our head down and instead of walking in defeat, we need to be excited about those things. Regardless, with these type of people that I'm envious of, they don't allow things to bring them down. That's the type of believer that I like to have. I want to get out of that privateness. I want to get out of that picky believer. I want to begin to move forward. I want to become more public about those things. Here's one I want to throw at as caution. The fourth type of believer that we'll deal with tonight is a passive believer. You mean there are passive believers? I'm going to explain to you what I mean here. What I mean here is the one who is willing to throw all out that he or she has been taught. All to be accepted by the world. Meaning they have become passive. A passive believer is one who believes they don't want to deal with any convictions anymore that come along their way. In other words, they have caved to society. They have given in, wanting to be men pleasers instead of pleasing God. going the opposite way. Okay, they have accepted Christ, and that's a great thing. But somewhere along the way, there has been a change of attitude in their life. And they cave and they change to the society. One thing that they cave to and they become more passive on is something that we deal with in our world more rapidly today than ever before. And it is as that simple word called alcohol. That's a touchy subject with a lot of people, especially with believers in our world today. You got some that believe drinking is okay, and then you got some believe that it's not. And you know my stand. I don't think it's okay. That's my conviction. That's my belief. Where do you get your conviction and your belief? From the Bible. Not from man twisting God's words. Directly from God's word. People will honestly leave a church that has principles, that has standards for the abuse of the bottle, or to be called a casual drinker. The things that they once stood for and taught their children have gone out the door just to be one of them. What do you mean? One of them. A passive believer. That's what I mean. A passive believer is one that can cause great damage to a church. Not only to a church, but to a family. Let me say this. Have some character and take a stand for God. That's what we need to do. Stop being so passive. If I was a passive father today, could you imagine where my daughter would be? I would hate to think of those things. As a parent, I have to take a stand. You might not agree with how I raise my child and how I discipline my child, but I will stand before God and how I raised her. I will answer to Him. And I'd rather not be a passive parent to allow her to get herself into harm's way. Have some character. Take a stand for God. Stop being so passive. Well, I just want to be accepted, and if I can just let some things slide. No, because once you begin to let things slide, it gets easier and easier. It starts out with the small things, and then before you know it, you're no different than the world that you were saved from. You're back in it. The fifth one is one that I believe that we should all strive for. And that is a passionate believer. So you have yourself a picky believer. You have yourself, what's the second one, class? Who's writing notes? A private. The third one is what? Public. The fourth one is passive. I'm glad you guys are listening. And the fifth one tonight is a passionate believer. This type here is what the world needs. This is one that I really want to strive to become, is a passionate believer. Yes, I want to be a public believer, but I want to be more of a passionate believer. And as I begin to explain this, I hope you'll understand here. We need passionate believers. What do we need to be passionate about? We need to be passionate about the cause of Christ. That's what we need to be passionate about. Do you remember Paul? Does anybody remember Paul? Paul the Apostle, what is he known for? He is known for his passion. He is known for his zeal for Christ, getting out the word of God. I put this person in a different category, and I will categorize this as a person of a soul winner, pleading the case for Jesus Christ. Let me ask us a question. Have we lost focus on souls for Christ? I'm going to ask you a question right now that I don't want anybody to answer publicly, but you can answer this privately in your own heart and in your own mind. When was the last time you had a passion for Christ and you won somebody to the Lord? Have we won a person to Christ in the last year, last month, or the last week? Or has it been 10 years ago to where we last had passion for Christ and reached somebody for Him? Why do we say this? Because we ought to have a passion for souls that is around us. We just can't assume that everybody is saved, because that's not the case. You know, that might be very true in our presence tonight. There might be somebody here tonight that has yet to come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And my hope and prayer, if that is you tonight, I hope that you'll get it right. Well, Chad, I've been coming to church here for 15, 20 years. Hey, great. Then why not tonight? Let us rejoice with you. Well, I've only been coming to church here for a month. Hey, great. Let it be tonight so that we can rejoice with you and say, welcome to the family of God. You know, we need to have passion. We have lost our focus on souls for Christ. But I want to give you something to think about, where we've laid our passion at. And I'm guilty of this as well. We have put our passion towards politics. We become focused on those things. Who to vote for or who not to vote for. And don't get me wrong, I believe they're important. I believe we need to do what is right on our behalf on voting. Don't get me wrong on those things. But we know more about our candidates than we do about maybe our disciples that God has entrusted us with to learn about. We can probably dig up more skeletons about previous candidates and knowing about, let's say, Elijah. See, we put our passion in other places. Not only we put our passion in politics, but here's one that gets me a lot, is we're more passionate about sports. I got to say this. With the pandemic that's going on, I love the fact that I have no desire to watch any pro sport ever. And I'm not afraid to say it. Why you say that? Because I think it's silly that grown men in tights that make millions of dollars go around, that's what they are, they're in tights, complaining about what's going on in this world today. If that was you and I and our workforces, you and I would be shown the door, plain and simple. And we've allowed our kids to idolize those people. We have allowed our kids to let those people become their heroes. And so we gear our passion towards sports. And here's something that I'm very guilty of. We try to live through our kids through sports. Well, this is an area that I failed at when I was a kid, and my parents didn't give me the opportunity, but by golly, I'm going to push my kids, and I'm going to live through them. Little did I know, as I began to push my daughter in some things, if I would have just taken the time to sit down with her as she was younger, she would have told me, Dad, that's your desire. It's not mine. That's your passion. It's not mine. And so I pushed her through things. And there's some things that's good for her, but I believe we have them focus their passion in places that there shouldn't be. As a result of this, eyes have been taken off God and put on man. Plain and simple. Not to be a discouragement to you sports fans that are out there, because I'm a sports guy just like anybody else in here. I miss playing basketball. I haven't played basketball since last November. And when my dumb AFib came in, I couldn't play no more. And then COVID came in and just killed the whole chances. But I took up a new sport. I played golf. I hate the game, but I love it, if that makes sense. But we've taken our eyes off of God and put on man. But not to be a downer in this one, but there's not going to be a Super Bowl. There's not going to be a World Series, nor will there be a Final Four in heaven. But I know this about heaven. Who will be there? God. Now, we know who will be there, but we don't know who won't be there. What do you mean, Chad? I'm talking about passion here. I'm talking about being a soul winner. Some of us have lived in our neighborhoods for years. We're surrounded with people who live on to the left of us, to the right of us, front of us, to the back of us. And we probably have never talked to our friends and neighbors about Jesus Christ. Every time I see an individual on my block walk down my street, God has given me an opportunity to talk to them. And you know what's unfortunate majority of the times? I don't take that opportunity. Why? Because I've allowed the world to direct my passion in other places where my passion should be driven towards them. I'm serious as can be. I can care less about sports now. We started volleyball here at the school a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to tell you this right now, honest to God, I wish it was over. I really do. It's fun, but it's just not me anymore. God's going to be in heaven, but there's going to be some people that won't be there because we have lost our passion. What are we contributing to that? What do you mean by that? You realize we spend thousands of dollars a year to allow our kids to play sports. I've known of one person, I kid you not, their kids were involved in several different sports, and they spent over $24,000 a year. Their passion is geared in the wrong place. Their passion should be geared towards Jesus Christ. I've known this about sports. It brings the worst out in people. It truly does. But our passion at times is directed in the wrong direction. My point is, we have become more passionate about sports than we are God. Think about this. Think about the passion for one second with Jesus Christ. He left his father. He left his home. Everything that he is familiar with. All his surroundings. All the love that he could ever have was there. To come to a world that would reject him. Why did he do that? Because he's passionate about you. And through his death on the cross, it demonstrated his compassion for you. So we have a picky believer, we have a private believer, we have a public believer, we have a passive believer. But the one thing that I want to become more in my life is a passionate believer. Taking the opportunity to be a witness to the folks that God has surrounded me with. We only get one opportunity in this world to make a difference. I only get one chance in my lifetime to be a father to my daughter. I only get one chance in my lifetime to be a great brother to my siblings. I get one chance to be a great son to my parents. You get what I'm getting at? Take the opportunity to have passion towards this world that needs Jesus Christ. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. And I'm going to do something tonight I haven't done for a while, but if God has spoken to your heart, I'm just going to ask our pianist to play maybe a verse or two. And then after that, we will be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us. God, I know that out of these five, we have fallen into one of these categories, maybe if not all of them. God, I pray tonight if you're dealing with hearts, and Lord, I know you are because you're always working in hearts. God, I pray that if anybody needs to come forward to have a word of prayer with you, or maybe just to sit in a chair and have a word of prayer with you, I pray, Lord, that the opportunity be taken. And I ask you these things in your name. Amen.